In the name of the way, the truth, and the life, our Savior Jesus, dear brothers and sisters. Certainly on this day, we remember and give thanks for the many wonderful things that mothers do for all of us in society. One of those things that mothers do and have done so well over the years, or maybe one of the ways we should give them special thanks, is for their work in the arduous, difficult, tumultuous, amazing labor of something called bedtime. I've seen it with my own eyes. My mother saw it with her own eyes. It takes a while to get the pajamas on and the teeth brushed and the face washed and the clothes laid out for the next day and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then, where the boundless patience of a mother's love might be pushed is when the child is actually in bed, mother is about to leave the room, and then a request is made. What is the request? Well, I don't know. It might change from night to night, but it might go something like this. Mom, if you just sing me a lullaby. I can't go to sleep. It's too dark. It's too scary. If you just sing me a lullaby. Just one lullaby. One verse of one lullaby. That'll be enough. And so mother, with loving heart and perfect pitch, comes back and sings a lullaby for child. And mother says, good night, dear. And turns away and is about to leave the room. But before she can cross that amazing barrier and checkpoint called the door frame, before she can actually get out of the room, then, Mom, I'm thirsty. I haven't had anything to drink in like at least 2.5 minutes. Mom, a drink of water. Just a little drink of water. That'll be enough. Just a drink of water. And you know how this goes. The water comes. The water is enjoyed. And then Mom begins to leave. And it's usually, Mom, I'm so sorry. I forgot. If you could just bring me my stuffed unicorn and my stuffed alligator and bear and dinosaur. I left them in the playroom downstairs. That's all I need. Just those four animals. That'll be fine. and my stuffed pony that I left in the trunk. Could you bring that inside? Thank you. And Mom brings back the little army of stuffedies. And they get put all around, and Mom's about to leave. And then, Mom, if you just fluff my pillow. Oh, this pillow, I don't know what happened. And just turn my sheets a little bit, that's okay. And then Mom's about to leave. Mom, just one more thing. Just a hug. Just a snuggle, Mom. A snuggle is all I need. Don't you want to give me a snuggle? Do you not love me? And the eyes get very big and mysterious. And then mother does that. And then you can tell desperation is setting in. Oh, go, just one more thing. Why, could you give me a dissertation on quantum physics and the rise and fall of the Roman Empire? I've always wanted to hear you lecture on that, Mom. You know that, don't you? And that'll be enough. And you know that this just goes on and on and on. And in the end, nothing is really enough. Now, out of the goodness of a mother's heart, she might satisfy some of those requests, and even depending on how long the day has been, enjoy satisfying some of those requests. And certainly it's not wrong necessarily for a child to ask for those things and want mom to provide those things. That's beautiful, but mothers can probably speak for this more authoritatively than I can. You realize there's a point where nothing will be enough. Finally, it gets to a point where the child simply has to trust mom's words that he or she will be okay, that their bed is fine and safe, that they will be hydrated till the next morning, and that they'll be fine. Because if a child finally won't just trust mom's word that it is time for bed, but that they will be okay, the child could go on forever. And in instead of getting more calm with each of those requests being fulfilled, we'll just get more revved up thinking about another thing that would make everything better. In the end, the child needs to trust mom that it'll be enough. The disciples were well past the age of being tucked into bed, but they were going to have a dark and scary night, the night that we're talking about in our text for today. It was Maundy Thursday night. They were having dinner with Jesus when he said these words, but they would go to dark Gethsemane. And they would have a lot to be afraid of in the dark there, because a band of soldiers would come to arrest Jesus. And then the dark would be scary the next day too, on Friday, as they would see Jesus, their friend, their teacher, their Lord, dying on a cross, and the sun would really stop shining. And it would be dark, and it would be scary. And so Jesus, loving them with a mother's love, a father's love, a Lord's love, a friend's love, gave them words, not a lullaby, but words of his undying love to calm their hearts and to comfort them before they would go through this awful time, so that they could sleep in peace even during some awful nights that were ahead. And so he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And just as you could imagine a mother about to walk out of the room after singing the world's most beautiful lullaby, only to hear a little voice chirp up and say, No, you can't leave yet, Ma. The disciples start to chirp up and start to ask questions or make requests. Thomas goes first. And Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Thomas is very concerned about directions. Later he'll be concerned about medical wounds. That's another account. Jesus gives him beautiful truth. He says, "Thomas, I am the way. I'm standing right before you. No, there's, don't be afraid. Don't worry. I've got it. I've got it." But they won't let him leave the room yet. After that, one more child disciple raises his hand. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. That'll be enough. That will be enough." What's behind Philip's request? It's not just an inner desire to learn more theologically about the inner workings of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three separate, distinct entities, yet one God. He's not really concerned about that. Really, behind it all, he's kind of saying, "Jesus, we need a little bit more. This is not enough. Oh, you're giving us some nice words to go on and some promises, but if you would just show us a glimpse of glory, if you just show us a snapshot of the Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, could you just show us some of that? Because if we just see a little bit of glory like that, then that would be enough. Then we could trust you. Then we could go to sleep in peace, and we wouldn't make any more requests, and we wouldn't doubt at all. Oh, no, we'd be fine." But what Philip didn't realize was that Jesus had given him and them everything that they needed to trust. And that if he wouldn't trust the simple, beautiful, clear words and promises that he had given them, no glimpse of the Father's glory would do it, because that could be forgotten easily. No little tour of heaven would do it. He had to learn to trust and to believe what he couldn't see, that Jesus knew what he was doing and that Jesus would love him regardless of what life threw at him. And I can't really wag my finger at Philip too much. I can't scoff at him and scold him. I can't roll my eyes, as we might, out of love, roll our eyes a bit at a child's endless requests before bedtime. Because I know that yearning of the heart that Philip has. I have it. Maybe you do too. You hear wonderful words and promises from God, promises that honestly almost seem sound too good to be true, that everything works together for our eternal good, that we're forgiven and that heaven is there. But sometimes in our hearts, maybe we say like Philip, Lord, I just need a little bit more. I will calm down. I promise I'll trust you. I'll follow you. I'll be joyful in affliction. But I just need a little bit more. It's just not quite enough. If you would just show me this or that. Lord, it would be enough. It would be enough, Lord, if you just removed this agony in my child's life that my child is wrestling with. If you would just help my child to do this or to get that, that would be enough. Lord, it would be enough if you just removed this affliction from my life. You know the one I've prayed about before, but Lord, I don't get what you're doing with it. I don't know what your answer is. So it would be enough if you could show me some progress, even. Lord, it would be enough, Lord. It would be enough. I know you say that the gates of Hades can't overcome your church, but it would be enough, Lord, if we could just see some more visible success at times. Some more people loving you instead of hating you. And people getting along. And Lord, at times it seems that within your church itself, I see people in such pain, being ripped apart by such problems. Lord, it would be enough if you could just show some miraculous cures and make those problems go away. Lord, it would be enough if that temptation that I keep fighting again, 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 if you would just take that away or allow me to triumph over it in a visible way to never be tempted by it again, that would be enough, Lord. Lord, it would be enough. Well, I don't know. How do you fill in the blank? Depends on the day, doesn't it? Now, is it wrong to pray for God to help us in our weaknesses, to take away our problems, to help our children, ourselves, our loved ones? Of course not. In fact, in the rest of the chapter, Jesus is going to assure his disciples that he wants to care for them, that they can bring their prayers to him. We hear in Ephesians that he is able to do immeasurably more than even what we ask or we can imagine. So no, it's not wrong. In fact, he says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened. Ask me for anything, anytime, about anything, and it's okay. That's not wrong. The danger, though, becomes when Philip's request becomes my request. And Philip's heart becomes mine. It's a heart that says, boy, I'd love to trust you, God, but you know, I just don't know. You're going to have to show me a little bit more. Lord, it would be enough if... I just don't know if I can go on your words alone. Because the problem is, if that's how we're going to have a relationship with God, it will never be enough. Because though he takes away one problem or affliction, which he does again and again and again and again, our hearts will be quick to race to the next thing that he needs to do to prove his love for us. Our hearts and minds are quick to raise the bar to the next level of, this is enough, Lord, for me to believe in you and trust in you. And if we don't trust in what we have already seen, in what we have already heard, in the promise of Jesus that we already have, we will never have enough. And we will actually probably be blind to the ways that he is caring for us and loving us and comforting us. I'm like Philip, and so are you. And that's why I'm so thankful that our God is nothing like us. Jesus could have gotten frustrated, could have slapped him upside the head, but instead he returns and gives promises. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. He says to those disciples, look at what I've already done for you. Look at what I've already said to you. Look at what I've already promised you. Look at who I am. In me, you have it all. And that's what he says to us when we're restless in the day and sleepless at night. He comes to you and me and says, my dear child, in me, your name has already been written on your room
in heaven. You have an RSVP there. My dear child, to make that RSVP possible, I went before you into death and hell and rose again from the dead. So that dwelling will be yours forever. My dear child, what's not enough? In me, you are forgiven every one of your sins. Yeah, that one too. Those ones that you think he could never forgive. The ones that you think everyone else knows about, those are forgiven too. My dear child, in me, you are a new creation. In me, you have a new status. In me, you are holy and you are chosen and you are precious, no matter what your mother or father say about you. In me, you know your worth. And my dear child, if that's not enough, I promise to send the Holy Spirit to live in your heart and mind, to believe this, to trust this. And my child, if that's not enough, I promise, in conjunction with the will of the Father, to work all things together for your good and to empower you to do incredible things for my name, some of them that you don't even realize you're doing or you don't see the results of. Just trust me. I have a plan for you. Ah. And then the more we learn to trust that it is enough to hold on to the promises of our God, the more we realize we have more than enough in Him. We are forgiven. We are loved. We are cherished. And nothing, neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, can take us away from His love, which will be enough for this day and this night and forever. Thank you, mothers, for your patient lullabies, for being couriers of sippy cups and stuffed animals, for giving hugs and snuggles, no matter what the age. I pray, mothers, that you hear the voice of Jesus saying, "What you do is enough in me, because in me you have love that will never leave you, and you will never be alone, and your children are my children." I know you stay up late at night praying for them and worrying for them, but I stay up day and night guarding them, watching over them, cast them into my care and my hands. You are not alone. And all of us, I pray that we would hear the voice of Jesus this day and this night, so that when we hear the voice of worry and anxiety and oppression and despair rise up and say, "Lord, it will only be enough if..." The voice of Jesus can speak to you and me and say, I am enough. I am yours. You are mine, and I'm going to take you and introduce you to my Father face to face in the place that I have prepared for you. Sleep well, my child. Amen.